Bob, you're the nicest man I've ever met. Where's Paul?
He may be in the bathroom. He hasn't had stomach issues so far today, so maybe not. Maybe he's just getting some water.
Last week he was having more.
Or maybe he's changing into another Houston Oilers throwback.
He might be. He's like Superman today. Last week he had more blowouts than the 1960 World Series, Bob. He was in very bad shape last week. Were you here for that?
I was. I felt it.
What?
I mean, I felt his pain by watching his face. I knew, you know, I've been in that boat before. It's not a good boat to be in.
Did we have a call earlier from John from Kennedy? I was a little suspicious
from
when
Kennedy
I...
From Kennedy Township, yeah.
Yeah, John, no.
Don't start that with me.
We're not taking any call
I am
John
really,
from Kennedy Township.
I warned Tyler Polk the other day of suspicious calls.
Of what?
There was an get right to it. George in Washington. First up tonight, hey, George?
Bob, in 1923...
A lot of our callers sound like this, by the way.
30-game hitting streak for the Pirates. Do you think that Brian Reynolds is going to break that record?
Well, the way he's swinging the bat now, yes, I expect that to continue, although it gets harder as the days go on, because everyone knows that he's the one lively bat in this lineup right now, and there are ways to pitch around him if you have to do that. Lately, he's been getting hits early in games, which is good. It takes sort of the pressure off. You don't want to go to
the
that
best
final
part's
bat
coming here.
Hit, but 25 and counting, and
George Washington,
you know, whatever it is,
on the call.
If you get to 30, I think everyone in Major League Baseball will be on notice. It hasn't happened. It's difficult to do. We all know he's a streaky hitter, and right now he's in one of those streaks. And it seems like it always happens in the month of June with him. We've had Reggie Jackson as Mr. October, Brian Reynolds as Mr. June, and hopefully that continues into July.
Bob, I remember Charlie Grimm. He played with Pi Trainer. Hold on, let me put my wooden teeth in so you can understand me better. Bob, what are you doing taking George in Washington? It's Tony.
Bob, you said you warned your producer and you guys took George from Washington?
Here's the thing. On the line, okay, just so you know that day, I looked at, and I was on a remote, so I could not talk to Tyler in person. And I tell everyone this on the show now, just watch out. There was an Adam and Aliquippa, okay? Not Alvin, all right?
Right.
There was a Hillary in Homestead. There was, if I'm going to believe, and I told him, I said, now,
but
you have
George
to admit.
George from Washington is a whole
There's not a
level.
George from Washington. He cleared him. I asked him, I said, is everybody, you sound good to you? Yes. Alvin in Aliquippa is on the line right now. Hello. How are you? Hey, Bob. Jesus.
Hey, Bob.
So you're telling me if Abe from Linkin Park calls next week, that'll be normal to you?
Again, if I was
suspicious. I told him not to take John from Kennedy Township, which might be unfair to a guy named John. But
let's go out to Glenn. And Glenn Willard, that makes sense. Glenn, what's up? Did you move there because of your name?
Hey, Bob, you think Tyler Palco could be the Steelers quarterback?
Here we go again. I trust that these guys check this stuff too. Joel Nelson, I tell Joel all the time when he's in, I said, make sure, and it hasn't happened with him. You screwed me up.
Joley would let nine-year-olds
in a bar.
Let me
tell you what you did to me, though.
What?
You put your wife on.
I know.
And
she was Fanny from Butler.
Fanny from Butler, and I would not have expected, and it was a woman, it was your wife. And then
that was dirty pool.
That's dirty pool.
But come on, George, did you hear about this?
Do we have to belabor this? Fanny in Butler is joining us right now. What's up, Fanny?
Yeah, where you had your wife call, right, or something?
No. This past Saturday,
okay,
Pony.
No, we already played it. We don't need to play it again.
Pony called in as George from Washington.
And is there not a George in Washington?
Yeah. And it went on for a while.
Okay, let me hear it.
No. Yeah, we already heard it. No, you don't need to hear it again.
Paul deserves to hear at least the wooden teeth part. Let's hear George from Washington, then right to the teeth.
God.
If you have it.
Bob, I remember Charlie Grimm. He played with Pi Trainer. Hold on. Let me put my wooden teeth in so you can understand.
That's when I knew.
What are you doing taking George in Washington?
Yeah.
It's Pony.
Bob, you have to have a better security system.
Well, no, now.
I realize
now,
the other guy was new.
Starting next Saturday on my show, it is just Twitter and no calls. And we're going to alleviate
it
that way.
Well, no, you made a good strategic adjustment in the game on Saturday. You just took first names, no places.
Well, right? Yeah, but I have to rely on who's answering the phone. I can't. You know?
I know.
What am I supposed to do? Just not take anyone because of a name that I'm afraid of?
Well, George from Washington.
All right.
Abe from Lincoln Park.
There was no Abe from Lincoln Park.
James from
Fanny from Butler. Come
James,
on.
James from Monroeville. Grover in Cleveland. Well,
Grover in Cleveland didn't get on. That was too obvious. But I'm not the person taking the call. If you
Grover in Cleveland.
Why do you have to?
Would just, that happen?
I'm not doing anything anymore. It's going to be 2 hours of a soliloquy.
I know. And I feel bad for what's happened here. I didn't think people were going to jump in like this. Pony of all
it's
people.
It's not just people. It's you guys. Fanny and Butler is joining us right now. What's up, Fanny?
Oh, Bob, you didn't deserve this. And I'm sorry that that happened. I'm sorry George from Washington got in. Last week, Jolie, Matt Cole was doing a show. And he let me in as Ron from Cook's Forest. Would you have let that in?
No. No, because I thought it would have been Ron or you.
Right, exactly. Ron from Cook's Forest. Paul, the silliness
but
has to
Paul,
end.
If you hear somebody, George, in Washington County, you tell me, would you be suspicious on every level? I mean, I have my antennas up now.
He's doing the
and
show
even
by
then,
himself tomorrow. If you get a call from, if none of this had happened and George from Washington called, would you have been suspicious?
Yeah.
About Abe from
okay,
Lincoln
Okay, so
Park?
Everybody yes. who calls, okay.
That's why
Abe. Wait a minute, Abe from Lincoln Park didn't call. You're making that up.
Isn't Lincoln Park just a school, not an area?
I called as Ron
Place.
From Cook's Forest, for God's sakes.
Lincoln
as a
Place
man from the middle
is,
of a forest.
Lincoln Place is a neighborhood.
All right, Larry from Lincoln Place. I'm going to call your show, and you're not going to know it's me, and I guarantee
Larry
you.
Larry from Lincoln Place? Or yeah. Abe from Lincoln Place.
Big difference. James from Monroe.
You had Elvin from Aliquippa.
Jolie would let in Laurel from Laurel Caverns. From a cave.
Well, again, I can tell if I listen to voices, I think. But, you know, I don't. So I have to go by what I see. And I just hit the button and let's go. If I were suspicious of everybody who called in, I wouldn't take a call. You know?
I do hear that. Yeah. My handicap just went up to 17.7. I had it all the way down to 16.3, and I've blown up on the course now.
That's not
three
a bad
times
thing.
In a row.
If you're playing Paul, you get strokes.
No, he would have to give me strokes.
What is your handicap?
It's bad now. Probably like 20.
No. Yeah. I've been out on the course with you. You were playing well.
I am starting to play well again, but remember, I had like a 5-month stretch where I was just awful.
I'm shocked by that.
I'll tell you this. Saturday... I played in an event with Barry, my buddy Barry, and I hit the ball better on Saturday than I have in 3 years.
There you go. Your handicap's going to get lowered.
Well,
soon.
If I start now, I need to start. You know, obviously, that was a scramble, so I didn't have a score at the end of it. But if I hit the ball like that when I go out. Like tomorrow, you know, I play in, there's a fan event tomorrow. I got to play in tomorrow afternoon or whatever. If I hit the ball like that, I'd be interested to see what I score. Because I was playing with two guys who are like superb, super golfers. And they both hit the ball a mile. And we used way too many of my shots. Not because, you know, the other guys hit bad shots, but because I was hitting really good shots. So.
Well, you got to get back out there with Bob if he invites us
and
somewhere.
And that included a drive somewhere in the neighborhood of 295, 300, straight down the middle.
What?
Yes, from me.
But which, see, therein lies the problem. You guys both hit the ball good off the tee. That's not your issue.
I don't.
The issue is the what
point.
You do from 100 and in.
Yeah.
That's the whole game.
The issue lately for me is 10 feet and in what I do with it.
All but right.
The issue with me is I've had a lot of health issues and like hitting the ball off the tee. I literally, Bob, was driving the ball 160 yards because 170
you were hurting.
Yards. Because I couldn't, because I have, you know, I have no energy. I have all kinds of problems. I'm starting to get healthy and feel better, and Saturday was the first time I actually hit the ball like I used to hit the ball, where I was able to get the ball. And then, you know, we used a bunch of my approach shots. We used a bunch of my chips. We used a bunch of my putts.
Guess who I played with yesterday?
Who's that?
Mike White from the Post-Gazette, but more importantly, perhaps, Terry Shields, your old boss from the Post-Gazette.
How's he doing?
He was doing good at the beginning of the round, but he had to drive around with me, and my rage came out on a couple of my shots, and I think he was traumatized by the end. So I don't know that he's doing well today. And I shot
Josh Bell is on his way to San Diego.
No, that's from two years ago.
Oh, that's from 2 years. What am I? Never mind. What am I saying here? But why did they put that up? Everyone's talked about Josh Bell, and I looked at it, and I said, he's going back to San Diego.
They're revisiting the trade because James Wood, who was one of the headliners in that deal, is a top five prospect in baseball, is debuting tonight.
Oh, with the Mets.
Guess what I did Saturday,
Washington.
Bob?
Yeah, with the Mets game, I mean. Yeah, against the Mets.
Played pickup basketball for the first time in 13 years.
Mistake.
I had the
You're going to hurt yourself.
I know. No, I won't.
Yes,
Myron
you will.
Brown, flying Myron Brown. I challenged him to a shoot around. He killed me. But then guys came in and were playing pickup. I'm like, I just want to get in on that
for a
minute.
Outside,
St.
Or inside?
Anne's, Castle Shannon, inside.
Yeah, because outside on the pavement, that. Yeah.
No, that's not good.
Yeah.
But I was so happy just to bring the ball up the court and be in a game again and then leave with a t-shirt soaked in sweat. Isn't that the best feeling, Paul?
Yeah.
When's the last time you played in a pickup game? Over a decade? It was 13 years for me.
It's been a long actual time. Game.
I'm going to do it again, Bob. You think I'll get hurt?
I don't like to think, defensively, if you're going to do this, you can't worry about it. But at the same time, you are
here's the thing. There
in the late 50s, right? So you have to be
yes.
careful that you don't do things. Your instincts will tell you to go after a loose ball and extend, and all of a sudden something can pop. I've seen too many people do
that. Here's the thing, and this is not an insult to the men that I played with because they were great guys, but none of us could run. Like, we can barely walk. It was, like Myron said, he said, this is about your speed when the game started. And I said, that's right. I was walking up and down the court like Chief in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Remember him?
Yeah.
When he would just walk up and down. That's what I did.
I mean, that's...
And it felt great. And we played a zone. I didn't have to move at all. I didn't jump. When you don't jump, you cut down on the risk of injury.
Yeah, that's true.
All I did was take outside jumpers and once in a while dribble the ball up the court. And that felt great, Bob. I felt like a kid again. I've never replaced the workout that you get from a game of basketball.
Yeah.
Never.
I mean, and
it's an automatic sweat.
I like the competitiveness.
Boxing.
I like everything about it. I like the competitiveness. I like the, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And back when I used to be in shape, man, I could really go.
Me too.
You know
I could
mean?
Fly up and down for 3 hours in the heat, but no more, Bob. We're all old now.
That's why you got to play golf and keep it in the fairway.
We will. It's time for a showdown. Limits, let's go.
All right, let's get to the Pirates, as we've been teasing too for the past hour and a half.
First day on the job, he's taking a little dagger.
Shot at me.
Yeah, you've been teasing it. I'll get back to what you said because you forgot.
Well, the texters keep saying, where's the Pirates? Where's the Pirates? So here they are. First of a three-game series against St. Louis this week, and then four against the Grimace Mets, who are now 500, and then three in Milwaukee. So we'll start with the inventor and the man of the showdown, Bob. What is your expectation for this stretch run, especially after hearing what Ben Cherington had to say this weekend, where, again, it has to be internal. The guys that are internal on the team are the ones that are going to make the real difference compared to anybody that they get externally at the deadline or whatever it else might be. What do they have to do, record-wise especially, in these next stretches of series?
Well, so they have three against the Cardinals, who are the team holding on right now to the third wild card. Then they have four against the Mets and three against the Brewers. I think you will find at the end of that stretch where the Pirates are. If they're more than three games removed from the last wild card, which could happen, then I think you'll see them not move any of their pitching prospects. They may make a trade, but it won't involve any big name. Therefore, I don't expect it. If, however, they could, I mean, they have to go on a streak. Let's be real. If they could sweep the Cardinals and eliminate that right off the bat and then take three or four from the Mets, they haven't done stuff like that all year. It changes your whole viewpoint of it. Now you are that team. Maybe,
yeah, but they're not going to.
I'm just saying, if they are. My expectation is out of 7-10 games, is that what's left? I would say 5-5. I think they're going to spin wheels and be exactly where they are, tread water.
If they go 5-5, it's a disaster. It's a disaster.
Because they're right where they're you know, you have nothing new.
I don't think a disaster wouldn't be great.
It is, because you're 10 games closer to the trade deadline and will have gained no ground.
Or maybe lost ground.
If they lose more ground, I told you before the weekend, we're in that danger zone,
right,
where if they get swept by the Braves and they salvaged a game, but if they go on a big losing streak or lose 7 of 10, they're going to be able to justify in their minds, oh, see, they didn't prove it to us that they deserve to be added.
They needed to make the deal a while ago. They needed to do something before it came to this, if they really had intention of getting in.
They have 13 games until the wild card, until the All-Star break. Realistically, they need to get to 500 by that point. So if they get to 500 by that point, in order to do that, that means they're going to have to go, what, 10 and 7, right? Yeah, 10 and 7.
Yeah.
You said 13 games.
I'm sorry, 13 games. So they're going to have to go
10 and 3.
8 and 5.
Or, yeah, 8 and 5.
8 and 5. They go 8 and 5.
But they haven't been on a streak all year. They need to go on one if they're legitimately.
If you're a playoff team, you should be able to go 8 and 5 over this next stretch. You go 8 and 5 and you get to 500, then all of a sudden, you know, but the bottom line is that you're still 500. Like, they need to get going here soon. So if they go 5-5, and then say they lose, they go 1-2 against, I mean, God forbid, what if they go 6-7 in this stretch? You're going to be in that point where they're going to start justifying not making a move.
Well, what Charrington said, you know, he's probably right. That's not the message that anybody wants to hear, though. And it's not the message he should be putting out there. I'm not even sure if he is right. Like, who internally is going to get a lot better here? There's one guy that I'm looking at. That's Key Brian Hayes. He better. But you
wouldn't expect Reynolds to continue this pace. You wouldn't expect Tellez to continue this pace, would you? If so, that's good. But
and McCutchen slowed down last year. They need outside help. The message they were espousing last week, Nutting and Charrington, was, yeah, we need offense. And yesterday he's talking a lot about internal improvements. Like the fact that Sawinski and Triolo and Taylor are still playing for this team all the time. What are we doing? Did you see the lineup from Saturday? Did you guys see the lineup on Saturday?
Again, we talked about it. One of the biggest problems they have, is that they've got Olivares, Sawinski, and Michael A. Taylor, and they have to play one, if not two of them, every day.
And Connor Joe's gone backwards of late, too.
Right.
For a whole month. I mean, this is not tenable. Their leadoff hitter has a 720 OPS, is hitting .222 this month. Their number three hitter was Connor Joe, who's hitting like .120 this month. Their cleanup hitter was Olivares, who has zero extra base hits in the whole month. Zero. Then you had Gonzalez. Then you had Key Brian Hayes, who's done nothing. Triolo, who, it's mind-boggling that he's here. He has a .283 slugging percentage. Grandal, the worst hitting catcher in baseball. And Taylor may be the worst player in baseball if it's not the guy who pinch hit for him, Sawinski. That's not a lineup. What are we doing here? And there's no way that this lineup can propel them to any sort of meaningful winning streak.
And there's really no help in the minors either.
Yes, there is.
Who?
Palacios is hitting hot in the minors. He just got. I'd take him over Sawinski or Taylor any day. And then who else was down there? Gorski was down there. Who else?
Well, they got rid of Lamb.
I see where the Phillies are in on Cody Bellinger to play center field. Phillies are also in on Jock Peterson. I mean, there's guys out there.
If you want to make a trade, but you have to give up.
Yeah, you have to give up. That's how it works.
Reluctant to do it, especially when it comes to pitching.
This is not tenable.
Well, again, Bob raised a really good point. Okay, Brian Hayes maybe gets a little better. And I don't even know who else. You know, maybe O'Neill Cruz gets a little better. But it's unrealistic to believe that Tellez and Reynolds are going to have the kinds of July, Junes, they're going to continue what they did in June. That's unrealistic, too. Both of them were out of their minds in June. So both of them are probably going to come back a little bit.
Yeah.
Which probably offsets whatever bump you get from Cabrian Hayes or whatever getting better.
Sure. But here's the thing, how they're also going to rationalize this. I can predict it. And how apologists are already rationalizing this. Is one guy going to make a difference? Yes. Because these games are so tight. Because they have the kind of pitching that's going to keep you in games that all they need is a little nudge. I mean, ideally, they would have a complete transformation offensively, but all they might really need is a boost, is one player to come in and help transform the lineup and change things.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need a ton. They have the pitching. They have it. They have what everybody wants, what most people want, pitching. So go out and make some sacrifices and get some hitting in here. Because a little bit will go a long ways with this pitching, I think. You agree, Paul?
We've said it for how many weeks? 3 weeks? 4 weeks now? We've said exactly that.
And again, all they've done is shredded water this whole time.
That's why I say 5-5 would be a disaster. Because now you're 10 games closer to the trade deadline. You haven't gained ground. And you're starting to really give them the off-ramp to say, well, we're not really in it because we're three and a half, four games out, and there's a bunch of teams ahead of us. We didn't feel like this was the year anyway, so we're not going to unload we're not going to use our bullets, so to speak, our trade chips. We're not going to use them this year we're going to save them because we feel like next year we're going to be ready to go.
They're showing up for real baseball games with Connor Joe batting third and Olivares at cleanup. Mm. Those two had one home run in June. One home run. And then the bottom of the order is just give up time. Triolo, Grandal, Taylor, with Sawinski still on this team.
And Henry Davis is still mired with whatever concussion issues he's had, and he's had 6 at-bats in AA and struck out 5 times, so he's a long way from getting back. So, I don't know. I think if you're going to make – again, if you weren't in this position, if the third wild card was 8 games removed from where you are, then fine. You just play out the season and look in the offseason to change everything. But since it's available and since you have the pitching that would make you think it could be successful in the postseason, why wouldn't you take a shot?
And since you never know if that pitching's going to be the same again.
It may not.
Do it now. And if you have the kinds of resources that you should have from a tank job that lasted 5 years, then dipping into it for 1 or 2 or 3 guys shouldn't really transform your roster, your future, that much.
Right.
Your prospect pool, I should say.
They did bring Lamb back after he opted out of the deal, explored the market, and he re-signed over the weekend.
No, thank God for that.
Yeah, but I don't think he'll ever get a recall here.
Plan the parade. I mean, this is just getting old. How Ben Cherington can sit there and watch this mess every day.
And the thing is, it's year 5. It's time now. You know, they talk about results. They were the ones who said they believe they are contending for a playoff. If you say it, then do it.
Yeah, they owe the fans this. They owe Pittsburgh that. He's just sitting there watching this crap, really. And then I see the Brewers who are playing chess here. Remember they traded Josh Hader to the Padres at the 22 trade deadline? You guys remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Josh Hader, oh my God, look at what the Brewers have done. So they got 2 major league relievers who are decent and 2 good prospects, one of whom was then packaged in a 3-team trade where they got Contreras back, all-star catcher.
And he's been really good for them.
That's called parlaying your assets into something really good and better.
And that's how you continue to remain on top of your division.
Right.
Even though people thought they were
Corbin Burns
is going away. He's pitching for Baltimore. But guess what?
They're two best pitchers.
Yeah.
And guess who's coming back? Maybe one of the best closer in baseball, one of the top 3, is about to come back for them.
Yeah, so they're in good shape.
And they're going to make
winning a division is not in the cards, but the third wild card is.
All right. Paul, any final? Oh,
what else?
Limits, what's our next question? Limits!
The NHL.
Bourgeois, what are you doing here?
According to Pierre LeBrun, I was in here talking to Nelly.
My stomach hurts, Bob.
The NHL and the NHLPA have had preliminary discussions on what a new NHL calendar could look like, and it wouldn't take effect until the next CBA 2 years from now. What's being discussed is moving the regular season up to the very beginning of October, awarding the cup earlier in June, cutting the preseason to 4 games per team, and adding 2 games to the season, an 84-game regular season, and basically moving things up 2 weeks. The preliminary discussions, but going to see where it goes.
I mean, if you're going to take away preseason games and get the season over with earlier, then I'll sign up for it.
Me too.
84 games is ridiculous. Every season is too long. Hockey season is the longest, most drawn-out, torturous season there is. These guys, they come back in August and start skating. Then preseason starts in September. So September, October, November, December, January, February, yeah. March, April, May, June, and they go to the end of June when it's summer. It's just...
And the interest is waning at that
point. Oh, my God.
If you ask me, the NHL season should be done by Memorial Day. I'm not saying you got to cut games, but...
Well, you'd have to do
shrink,
that.
Shrink it some. Shrink the preseason some. Start a couple weeks earlier, but it should be done by Memorial Day.
I agree with that.
How do you do that, though? You'd have to give Memorial Day is
part of it. Is you don't have your Stanley Cup final, you don't have your final series stretch out over 55 days like they did this year. That probably would be a good start.
But if you're going to have 84 regular season games, there's no way to get all that in. It's too compacted. Unless they move things earlier, they can move the season starting in September instead of October.
No, just start it 2 weeks earlier. Keep it at 82. Get rid of some of the preseason. If you add, like, say, 6 games in. Every team plays at least 6 games in those first 2 weeks. So, you know what I mean? 6-7 games in those first 2 weeks. You're probably right at the same place where you could end 2 or 3 weeks earlier than you are right now.
All right, let's continue this next with a little pirate spice to it. I'm really enjoying Craig Counsell and the Cubs getting their asses kicked and the Brewers being better than them. Some things in sports are amazing to me, and one is that people think the manager is like a big deal in baseball. Like, if you get the right manager, he can make all the difference. They're interviewing Joe Maddon up here. How did he do in his stops in, what was it?
Well, he won one championship, and for them, that was enough.
Yeah, right, because they had a great team.
Right.
And then the Angels thought he would transform them. How did he do there?
Oh, well, the Angels are just, no matter where you go, that's a coach-killing situation to be in.
You and I could have managed the 70s Reds. Like, Joe Torre, yeah, when he was in St. Louis and Atlanta, was a bum. And then he went to the Yankees, right, and he was a genius. So Craig Counsell, let's get him in here and let's steal him to the point where the Cubs fire a guy who actually did a good job last year, really good job, and he'll transform our team. Really? The manager?
Well,
by doing what?
You better have better players. And right now, they clearly don't have enough good players.
Exactly.
It's all about the players. I mean, it's more...
In that sport, more than any other, in my opinion.
Yeah, because you are at, you know... You look at Baltimore Orioles, what they did. You know, they were in the same position as a lot of teams. They had bottomed out. But what they did with their picks and how they're developing those picks and their entire lineup, they lead the majors in home runs, I think, and they have a lot of guys under the age of 25. You know, so... Even the manager is not responsible for that as much as the GM is.
A lot of people thought that Cubs team would be dynastic. Remember all the young guys they had on that team who were really good, and then they just flamed out, and he's basically kicked out of there and then goes to Anaheim, and now he's doing interviews on MLB Network. There he is, Bob.
And he was paid a lot of money to leave, too.
Mr. Plantar Fasciitis himself.
What is he? But I remember when he was with the Angels.
Yeah.
He was not very good.
No.
I always found him to be so obnoxious that even if I thought he was good at what he did, he would be, I don't know that I would want him running my team.
Yeah.
Here's all you need to know about the Orioles, though. The Orioles have 9 guys that are regulars, okay? We're not counting guys that have less than, you know, X amount of at-bats. But they have 9 guys who are regulars or who have been with the team all season, who have played a lot of games, who have a large sample size, with an OPS of 750 or more. How many do the Pirates have?
One.
Maybe two.
Two. Nick Gonzalez.
Well, his numbers don't even qualify him yet.
Yeah, probably not. But let's give them him because he's played a lot. He's played regularly. But he's 755, which means he's another couple of bad days, and he'll be under 750. And Brian Reynolds. That's it. The Orioles have nine of those guys.
They did their rebuild right. You can say that much. All right, Limits, finish up the showdown. We're ready. Bob against me, me against Bob, Paul against Bob, Bob against Paul, Ball against me, and me against Paul.
So, a lot of movement in the NBA. What a surprise there. As Paul George, how about the Warriors offered a package that included Kuminga? There was thoughts about will they bring Klay Thompson back or move off of him? So, Paul George goes to the Clippers, not the Clippers, from the Clippers to the 76ers, and Bronny ends up with the family affair with the Lakers. Some of the other moves that are going on, Klay Thompson's a free agent. Well, just I know Pop loves the NBA, so I wanted to bring it up. What are the biggest NBA takeaways that you have at the moment, Bob, as Chris Paul goes to San Antonio and will play with Victor Wembanyama next season as well?
First of all, Paul George is a waste of money going to 76ers. In my view, that's a lot of money for a guy who hasn't won. He's been in position to win. Good player, don't get me wrong. I wouldn't have made that move. Klay Thompson will end up in L.A. with the Lakers. That's my natural fit, I think, for them. LeBron James is going to take less money to be with his son. I don't like the fact that they had to pick his son in an effort to keep him there. That doesn't seem like the way to go. But, hey, bottom line is they're trying to give him an opportunity to play with his son 1 year, whatever the case may be, and still be a contending team. So if he takes less money and they can bring in Klay Thompson, it helps them. But overall, I was hoping, really, really, really hoping that the Boston Celtics would take Bronny one pick ahead of the Lakers and see what would have happened.
That would have been great. My take on this is Paul George is 34 years old and you're going to pay him $200 million. He's never won anything. They're out of their minds in Philadelphia. They're not going to win. Clippers signed James Harden to all
that
money.
He's never going to win either.
He's never going to win. But the Knicks, how about the New York Knicks and what they're doing all of a sudden? They have the entire Villanova National Championship team, one of them anyway. And they're making other additions.
Brought in Mikal Bridges now. Yeah. The whole thing is Villanova.
To me, that's fun. And that's great. But my favorite basketball game from the weekend was Caitlin Clark beating Diana Taurasi. That was fun to watch. I never thought I'd be this into the NBA. I absolutely love it, Paul. The WNBA, I should say. Your thoughts on any of this?
Paul George is a classic example of a guy who gives you a lot of stats and really doesn't contribute to winning much.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing that people, forget is that over the last 5 years, he's played more than 60 games once in 5 years. I mean, he's a guy who takes load management to a completely another level of...
Well, it's a good thing he's with Embiid, who never gets hurt.
You got those two guys. I don't think the Sixers made themselves any better. I don't think they made themselves any closer, got themselves any closer to being able to beat the Celtics. Or the Knicks, for that matter. I hate that deal. My thing with LeBron James as a kid is this. Number one, if I was the Pacers, I had 3 second-round picks, you better believe I would be taking LeBron. I would have taken Bronny James and said, okay, what are you going to give me for him? Because you want him. And there's enormous pressure from LeBron to get him.
Yeah.
So they probably would be willing to give you something more than he's worth. Like, I would say, I'll tell you what, I'll give you Bronny James for your first-round pick next year. And they would almost have to do that.
That's what I thought Boston should have done. They were one pick ahead of them.
Why not? So there's that. The other thing is the discussion is so disingenuous among these LeBron James, wonks who are out there. Okay? First of all, let me preface this by saying I'm a LeBron James guy. I love LeBron. I think, again, he's the second-best player in the history of the NBA. Behind Michael Jordan. And the bottom line is, I love LeBron. But these people that, like Adrian Woj or whatever his name is, who basically have to carry the water for Team LeBron because they rely on all of the information that comes from his agents and his agency and all the other stuff. Stephen A. Smith, trying to explain to us all, Ryan Clark even got in on the discussion, how that wasn't an example of nepotism is just stupid. Why, Joe, let me ask you this. Why, when did we become this society that's so afraid just to say what the truth and the reality is of things? Like, why do we have to try and spin everything? My thing is this. It's 100% nepotism. 100%, you know, LeBron James taking care of his kid. But LeBron James has earned the right to do that. He's earned that shot, so okay. But why are we so afraid to call it nepotism? Call it what it is. I can call it what it is and say I don't have a problem with it because, you know what, it's a second-round pick. You look at most of the second-round picks, they're guys they're going to stuff on the G League or send to Europe anyway. So who cares?
But they could have taken him as an undrafted free agent, right, much like the guy from Pitt went, right, Blake Hinson.
Right, but I guess you know this way they have other options that they can do different things with him. But either way, my point is it's 100% nepotism. It's 100% LeBron James taking care of his kid. It's 100% that the Lakers bowing down to LeBron. Yes, it is. By the same token, he's earned it. I mean, there are certain people in life, in all walks of life, they get to a point where, yeah, they've earned it. So, you know, and his value to the Lakers, obviously, they're willing to say, we're going to hire your podcast partner as your coach.
Right.
And we're going to draft your kid. Listen, if you're LeBron James, you've earned that. But don't insult my intelligence with these nonsensical screeds about how this isn't nepotism or I don't want to hear about nepotism. Give me a break, please.
But how do you honestly evaluate a GM like a Rob Pelinka if he's not making the calls on any of this? You know, that's my only take about with and it's not just him, but it's a lot of teams in the NBA that they want to put together their
and
assembled.
Not everybody would exercise that power. Just because LeBron can doesn't mean that he's doing right by that franchise. They just hired a coach whose only experience was at fourth grade.
Right.
So he's definitely earned the right, but that doesn't mean that it's the right thing to do for the good of that franchise. All right. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Coming up, let's talk Pirates. We'll be updating you on hockey. We spent most of the show on hockey, but the Pirates had a weekend that still leaves them on the outs here and with a lot of doubts here. And the trade deadline's coming up. The GM spoke. Let's hear what Ben Cherington had to say. All of that coming up. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. And then we'll have a rousing rendition of Tex in the City. If you missed it off the top, our friend Austin Bechtold, City Limits, has been named the official producer of this show. It was nepotism. Bob got him the job.
Thanks,
Paul,
Bob.
Do you agree with that?
What?
That nepotism got City Limits this job? Bob's nepotism? Bob's connections got City Limits the job?
Well, Bob, I thought it was Lanny Fratteri. Isn't he one of these Waynesburg
guys? Might be.
Guys?
Could be Lanny.
Aren't
yeah,
you a Waynesburg
could be Lanny.
Guy?
I am, yeah.
Yeah, it was Lanny's. You know, Donnie Football, him, Greg Finley. There's a whole bunch of those guys.
Callis, that's right. Now, we congratulate you, City Limits. You earned it the good old-fashioned way with hard work, and you're very
good
at what you do.
Yep.
Thanks, guys. Honored to be here.